enjoy a good squeeze.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm August.
And I'm Margo.
And this is...
A Good Squeeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, a podcast where we squeeze a little bit of 007 into our daily lives. And today is a very special episode, August. Why is that?
Well, I'm going to look to my left and my left and say the reason why it's a special episode is because we got some guests.
Our first guests ever. Everybody, welcome the Inns Boys. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi, guys. Ken.
Ken!
Sorry. He sounds very sober there.
I'm excited. Come on, I'm excited to be on the podcast.
I'm Neil. That's
We are the Inns Boys.
We got Ken and Neil from the Inns Boys. If any of you guys actually listened to my instructions on social media, you went and you listened to their podcast. We have been guests on their show twice now. And they have been a wealth of knowledge, you know, in terms of, you know, Western Pennsylvania lives and the lives of Western Pennsylvanians, sorry. And how, and we saw a bridge. We were like, oh, you know what? There's something here for the Good Squeeze pod. And you guys are going to be giving us a lot of insight.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking very fast per the norm, so I apologize in advance.
No, we're gonna try. I mean,
we do our best. Yeah,
no promises.
Well, remember, sure, out there for anybody who doesn't know and hasn't listened to us, we're kind of a bro podcast, a shit posting podcast. So I should preface that for some people may go and listen to us and it might not be quite your thing that you're into, but
Frank,
either way,
we like you guys. If people like us, it's, you know, what is it called, the associative property, where it's like, you know. If you're like the friend of my friend is my friend kind of thing.
Sure. Well, but yeah. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
But the friend of my friend is also my friend.
But right? They could be your enemy.
Well, that's...
we'll leave that up to the listeners.
No. We're going to keep talking about this.
But yeah, you guys mentioned your podcast. You say you're a shitposting podcast. Thank you for coming on to the show for sure and making the journey to our evil volcano lair.
Sure. It's beautiful here, by the way.
Thank you.
But yeah, I wanted to ask, like, is this your first time being guests on the show, like on any podcast? You usually host the guests, but on your show, but is this the first time you've been doing it somewhere else?
I can't speak for Neil, but definitely for me, I've never been a guest on a podcast.
Yeah, I've been on a couple.
Yeah, come
no
on.
Big deal.
You're lying. Yeah.
No, I've never.
So I'm
never.
A little out of my element at this moment. So sure. Yeah, just I don't.
Ken's very vulnerable right now.
I am very vulnerable. Yeah, I had to take an extra Ativan today.
I don't know if you can tell, but or if you could tell, but like the two times you did have us on, as well, I was just like, okay, like, don't say anything stupid. Don't move. I broke a shot glass in your garage or in your whatever, which was real smooth. And like, yeah, so it's funny seeing it like on the other end now because I couldn't pinpoint what it was. I was like, I'm like out of my element. And it's because, you know, it's a different setup. It's a different environment. We're going to be asking you guys questions and we're putting you on the, what do you call it? Podium?
The hot seat. Yeah, podium. Yeah.
I'm not from this country. Yeah.
So thank you for coming out of your comfort zone and out of your element and being in ours. And a big part of our show, Good Squeeze, but how I view James Bond is that comfy, cozy element. So hopefully you feel comfy, cozy. I'll rub your shoulders as we record.
Yeah. I like it.
He'll kiss you on the lips for a moment.
30 but, minutes.
You know, just, yeah. It'll feel like eternity.
like Roger Moore kisses like a fish, as Marcus says.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah.
Well, so real quick, before we dive in, why don't you guys just tell us a little bit about your podcast, who you are, and why you're here? Because we did give you guys some homework and just kind of give us an introduction on like just brief, you know, keep it short. No, I'm joking.
Sorry. Yeah.
You go first.
Sure. Yeah. So we had mentioned that a couple of the interests that we have align with your podcast, right? So I'm an aviation, I work in the aviation industry. Neil here works, or at least has expertise, I should say, into the firearms world and the industry. And so both of those things are hand in hand into James Bond, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of worked in that fashion. Now, as far as us, the Inns Boys concern, we're just, like I said, it's really, I hate to put the Inns Boys on a pedestal too much. We are a good time. We like to have a blast, but we're just a couple bros. That's all.
You should put it on a pedestal. It's a very good show.
Yeah. I feel like Ken undersold us there a little bit.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. You know.
Well, I mean,
very
it's like,
modest.
When we came on your show, I was like, nobody listened to us. Don't worry about us. And then he was like, no, this is good. It's the same dynamic. You guys just, you know, it's modesty and then, you know, not modesty.
Well, so. Yeah, it's a yin and yang. Everything's a yin and yang to some degree.
Would you say you guys on your show, you bro down, you chit chat, you talk.
Big time.
Beer and guns, baby.
Beer and guns, yeah. Fishing, a lot of fishing talk.
Outdoors.
Yep. Outdoors in general. Western Pennsylvania general, kind of the, I guess we don't speak for everybody, but the generalized Western Pennsylvania and up where we're from.
Pennsylvania, dude.
That's you know, the stuff we get into. Yeah.
We're minor Appalachian.
Yeah.
Because we're almost Midwest, but not.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And that's where I'm originally from, like up your neck of the woods, up that way.
But so, you know, with that little introduction, we want everybody to go check them out because, again, great podcast, great format, everything about it. But let's just dive into our questions because everything that you guys are experts at, or shall we say nostalgics in,
let's find out. Are they nostalgics? Well, are they novices?
Who knows? We're Mondo novices when it comes to any of this stuff. Like, we honestly, like, I'm double novice, you're nostalgic novice, and they're just nostalgics with this stuff. So, you're going to give us some insight on, like, aviation and on firearms. I keep just saying guns. Like guns because you know
ubiquitous term. It's
okay. See, already learning. But I know August, you wanted to just kind of like kick things off with a
question. You know, I basically wanted to hear from both your lips. You know, we're a James Bond podcast, a good squeeze indeed. Hey, what was your first introduction to James Bond? Like, what were some memories, early memories, if you can even recall? Like, hey, this is the first time I came across James Bond. Like, what was that like for you guys?
I'll tell you right now, it's probably the most common answer is GoldenEye N64, and that's what got me into it, at least into the game itself. I'm be full disclosure, I have not seen very much of any of the films, and I hope to change
that
your podcast, though.
Me too.
So. Yeah. There you go.
That's the whole point, though.
Yeah,
of this show is to like talk. Her and I, she hasn't seen many. I have, and it's like the introduction. But it's also for the listeners, people like you who haven't, you know, really dove into James Bond and be like, oh, I can relate to her, you know, potentially.
Right.
Most people can relate to me.
Sorry. But yeah, I had the same story as you, though, that video game, GoldenEye N64. That was the first time I saw James Bond. Actually, when I finally saw the movie, GoldenEye, I was upset. Because Pierce Brosnan shows up. I'm like, hey, he doesn't have golden eyes. I remember having that thought. Anyway.
Yeah.
Fond memories, though, of that game, for sure.
Absolutely.
I think I've seen one of the... I definitely seen the movies as a kid. But the one that sticks out to me is like... who's the guy with the jaw?
Jaws?
Yeah.
Jaws. Hell yeah.
which one?
He's in two of them. He's in The Spy Who Loved Me, and he's in Moonraker.
It was probably Moonraker,
I'm
thinking of. But like I said, this was so long ago. Like as a kid when I saw it, like that's the one thing that I vividly recall, you know, from watching the movies. But,
it's always like that when you're watching it. Because it's targeted towards adults. Mm-hmm. So as a kid, you're like just kind of dissecting it into what you can digest.
I was going to say, there's no way I could follow like the plot of what was happening as a kid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that like really sticks out to me.
As a kid too, you know, when I finally did see those movies, like Spy Love Me or Moonraker, I think I saw Moonraker first. I was very enthralled with Jaws because he's in that video game.
Yeah.
And he was like super tall in GoldenEye and
easy to hit.
Yeah. So when you see the movie that he's in, it was very exciting. An odd job in that game
that's the character you want was odd job.
Cause he's really short.
But, but not in the movie. Right.
Right.
Right. Strange. Right. Why did they do that to him? Why'd they do him dirty like that?
That's a great question that I have never thought to even dive into why.
You asked about it, though, or you pointed it out in the last episode.
But I never sought out an answer.
If you want to tie it back, if you listen to our last podcast with you guys, we talked about that and his origin story and whatnot.
Did
Very
we?
Very cool.
I was drunk.
No. Nice.
Well, no, that's like something that like I had never, well, I mean, I knew he was Asian and, you know, I wasn't sure what kind, but you know.
Sure.
But it was an interesting thing that I never knew existed, like the whole backstory behind it. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's what we're finding here is there's all kinds of ties to James Bond. You might not have even realized.
Yeah. To piggyback off of that, we just talked about your relationship with James Bond. Can you guys just give us, and this is your time to talk about it for as long as you want, your background with aviation and your background with firearms and how you got into it, what it means to you, and how that interest has evolved over time. So,
sure.
Can you take it away?
Yeah. So, when I was 17 years old, I got fired from a car dealership. And the only place that I was able to get into pretty quick was an FBO. They call it like a fixed base of operations for front base operation, basically for a place where airplanes go at the airport.
Nice.
Oh,
so okay, cool. They were hiring someone to wash some airplanes, and I said, "Yeah, I can do that, I guess." Yeah. So ever since then, I flew. Then I got my licenses to work on the airplanes, and that's kind of can't get away from it.
Did you have to go to school for that?
I did. Yeah. So. Wow. Most of my training's on the job, but it's recognized because it's logged time. So I have log books for all my flight time and for my maintenance time. And once I got enough of it, then you check out. So it's through the feds, FAA kind of issues those certs. But so that's where I'm at now and still hating it just as ever.
No. Crap. Work is work.
That's what I mean. Like, it actually is really fun, I should say. Okay. I enjoy it. But like anything, even though it seems exciting from the outside, it's all work. Eventually, you get tired of all of it.
Is there like, out of that, just being exposed to it for so long, did you kind of like branch out and just kind of naturally gravitate? Because you tend to nerd out on your podcast mm-hmm. about these kinds of things. And I'm going to quote, you've said you are an aviation nerd. And has that just kind of prompted you to dive into it? Or did you just kind of like, reluctantly get into it?
I never really thought, when I was younger, like prior to that I was interested in aviation, but mm-hmm. I'd say I was kind of a learned nerding. Like along the way, I became more and more interested in it. So
cool.
Yeah, nothing when I was super small or as a kid, I remember anyways, me wanting to get involved in that industry, but it just kind of worked out that way and got comfortable, and here I am.
Yeah. Cool. Because I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but when I was a kid, there were two jobs I wanted to do. It was either garbage collector or pilot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing neither of those. So that worked out swell. But we had a lot of museums, and back in California, it was like aviation museums and all that, and that was always my go-to. I was like, I go to the aviation museum.
The garbage museum.
My parents just threw me in the trash. They're like, you just stay here for a little bit.
Museum.
That'd be good.
That's a good intro though. So Neil, what about you for firearms?
Oh, like how deep do you want to go?
Deep.
So I it goes back to when I'm a kid. Like obviously guns are just like cool. You have a cap gun as a kid.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
You know, cap gun, nerf gun.
I would say squirt gun,
paintball gun.
Well, I was gonna say then BB gun, then paintball. I played a lot of paintball as a kid.
So nice.
That was like my thing every weekend. Like I worked at a field, my first job ever. But guns are just fun.
Yeah.
So that's
true. Yeah.
So that's how I played paintball a lot as a kid, and mm-hmm. that's sort of like when I turned 18, like, okay, I can buy a gun now legally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't know that.
So you just like went and
bought a gun.
Cha-ching.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So Wasser 1063. AK-47, quote unquote, I guess.
You're like, I need that.
Well, no, because this was back in the early, like, it'd be 2018.
Okay.
Not 2018.
I also quickly.
2008, excuse me.
2008, when he was a teen.
Well, no, because it's time-wise, I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be somewhat accurate.
Well, you're good. It's not like they're going to look it up.
Oh, you never know.
Our listeners.
Look up his record.
Yeah. The ATF, they're really, I mean, now.
I really quickly want to say, too, we brought you on, Ken, as the aviation expert, but we know you love guns, too.
Sure.
So please chime in with that, too.
Neil,
you can't say anything about aviation, though, so.
Both of you.
No, I'm definitely a firearms enthusiast. Enthusiast, along with Neil here. He is way more knowledgeable and in depth, and more of a collector.
So I wanted to get into that.
Yeah,
so like guns for me, like So first, number one, it was like, okay, I can own a gun. It's my right. Cool. Which everybody has that right.
Sure.
As an American.
Yeah.
Very based.
Because we're in America.
Yeah. Well, that's, well, because we do have international listeners, but.
That's true. If my cousins are listening, hello. Sorry.
But anyway, so it's something that like you're allowed to do. You can do it. You can do it safely. Like it's not, it's part of American culture. Like it's, yeah. It's America's martial art is what they, what they call it. Because it is really a martial art
word
at the end of the day.
Oh.
So we'll roll into that. So at first I was like, okay, guns are cool.
Yeah.
Bought some guns. Like, you know.
Did your parents know?
Yeah. They were not happy about it because they were not big gun people.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's sort of like my grandparents were both my grandfathers were veterans, fought World War II. The one definitely owned a couple guns. The other one I don't think did, but don't bump me up.
you gotta get closer to the mic.
It's an unfamiliar spot. I don't know what I'm doing.
You guys are doing great, by the way. Just letting you know.
Whatever you call it.
No, but
he's out of his whatever you call it.
So what else? Like guns can be a lot of things. Like you can collect. Like there's a lot of historical like things that you could get. Like World War II, World War I, all sorts of things you can get into historically speaking. But there's pop culture stuff. Like a lot of the guns in these movies, like James Bond, PPK. Like you can still get one of those. Like it's.
I want one. That Walther. Well, Walther PPK.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of pop culture stuff that, like, I have a bunch of guns that I bought because
it's
cool. It was in a movie.
Do you have, like, you hit the button and it goes, the door goes up, and it's like a hole.
No.
Well, just to add to that, too. So, like, I'm a Walking Dead fan, right? Mm-hmm. And I want the Colt Python, you know?
Yeah. Is that what?
Yeah. Rick Grimes gun. Yeah.
How
Rick
often
Grimes.
Does that happen?
Is that what Andrew Lincoln has?
yes. Rick Grimes. That's
How often does that happen for you guys where you're watching media or like a show or something and
recognize a gun?
Or you want all it. You all want all it. All you're like, time. I want that. I want that. Like a kid watching like infomercials for like Floam or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like
Floam.
Yeah. Floam was cool too.
It was pretty sweet.
Yeah. More of a Floam. I have a button you hit and it goes, and it's all the different colors of Floam. Yeah.
We'll show you later.
It dried out pretty quick. That was my problem with Floam.
That was my gripe with Floam. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's cool. You got that Walking Dead gun. That's sweet.
No, I don't have it. That's the one I want. Too pricey. And because of the Walking Dead, it's skyrocketed the value of
it. Oh, well, that's right. There's marketing behind guns, too.
Well, so there should be something. Like, so that gun, for example, that came back into production after that show.
Correct.
Because there was a demand for it because it was featured in that show. Like Colt didn't produce that gun for, I don't know, 10, 20
years. It's been some time and then everybody wanted it. So they decided,
it's a business. Like that's, like I said, this is America. Like guns, it's a couple billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
You know, first the civilian market, not even the military industrial complex. If you want to go that route.
Nah.
But no. So like that's like there's a lot of things that you can get into with guns, but recently for me it's been like performance based stuff. Like okay, can you shoot? Like you can own a gun. Anybody can own a gun, but can you shoot it well? And can you shoot it well under stress? Is like thing that a lot of people like. You're gonna go to shit in a second in a situation.
That's a big thing. I feel like they talk about just with weapons in general is like, you know, as a woman, a lot of me and my female buddies, we have like, you know, pepper spray, something. And I had a friend who had a crowbar and now here's the thing. She was a slender lady, not a lot of muscle mass, and that's fine.
It's a bad choice.
That's the thing. I'm like, what if this dude takes the crowbar? Now you gave this guy a crowbar, and now he has a fucking crowbar.
That's the thing is, you shouldn't carry a weapon that you're not comfortable
or
trained because it will be used against you if
the
time comes and you don't know what you're doing. Or if even in that case, like as a woman, not to throw shade, but I mean, statistically, you're weaker.
I mean, statistically, you know, with what happened to me.
But this is why, like, I think mace and pepper spray is like a phenomenal option. Mm-hmm. It's non-lethal. It's
compact.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Easy to carry. I mean, you just got to practice. You also should buy one and practice with it. Mm-hmm. Don't shoot yourself in the face.
I haven't practiced yet. But
it's very directional. And the wind. You got to be careful of the wind.
Yeah, that's my, in Pittsburgh too, it's like not. Yeah, yeah, right.
not ideal. But that's a thing that's like, it's, you don't need a license. Mm-hmm. You can carry, like it's, I think everybody should have it, you know?
Right. So this kind of leads into this question. Who should have a gun? How does one get a gun, the license, what would you recommend the steps, just also in lifestyle, okay, to get a gun?
Because let's say, you know, me as a novice with firearms, I think, I, you know, just for content's sake, we'll say the first time I ever shot a gun was with you guys.
Really?
No, but for content's
sake. I was going to say, no way. Because you guys were actually pretty good.
I was doing okay.
You guys should go check out that reel.
Oh, yeah. Go on Instagram. She still has a terrible. We'll do plugs later.
Very fire.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Honestly, though, like, that was probably the first time I've shot a gun in over 15 years,
that
maybe.
That was the most structured I've ever been given a gun.
You guys did great.
Thank you. Oh, that's so nice.
But as a novice, and let's say Joe Schmo me decided I want to...
A gun.
Want to get one.
Yeah.
To Margo's question.
Yes. So what type
and
of
Ken
gun?
And Ken prepared to tell us about your how you got your first gun and everything. So just think about that for a bit. Go ahead, Neil. Sorry.
So I guess, what are you going to use the gun for? What's the intent?
If a bad guy comes in and all my tricks don't work on him.
Yeah, we'll say her parlor tricks.
So home defense.
Home defense and kind of like what we did, just like the casual, Lincoln. Going to the range.
Target
and just,
shooting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, so, the fun side of it.
I would say, number one, you should get a 9mm handgun. If you want a gun that you can defend your home with, because the thing about like a shotgun or a rifle, sure, very lengthy, especially in an old house like this, probably better to have something that you can keep a hold of.
I'd love the Elmer Fudd one that goes for like, whoop, oh, that yeah, like, pants, so the trombone looking thing.
The musket.
Blunderbuss.
The blunderbuss. Yeah.
Like a pirate gun.
You could get one of those too. You don't need a license actually for a black powder gun. In Pennsylvania.
You just give me a minute.
Yeah.
So people could show up and at the top of my stairs, I could have a cannon.
Yes.
You can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Get the grape shot going.
I'll be honest. Anything that's like cartoon but lifestyle related, that's just brilliant.
Remember the four rules of firearm safety. Number four, know your target, what's beyond it, what's around it. So if you're going to blast your cannon, make sure your neighbor's house is not there in that direction.
Yeah.
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 Can you go over those four rules? Sorry, we keep interrupting you.
So the universal four rules of firearm safety is, number one, treat every firearm as if it's loaded. So give the firearm the respect it deserves. Number two is never point the muzzle of the gun at anything you're not willing to destroy. So watch your muzzle discipline. Don't point your gun at anybody. Number three is keep your finger off the trigger and out of the trigger guard until you've made the conscious decision to shoot. So no finger on the trigger. Keep it out. Even if you're grabbing the trigger guard, under stress, you're going to naturally squeeze and easily shoot the gun. And then number four, know your target. What's around it? What's beyond it? That's the four universal rules of firearm safety.
That's crazy. I was kind of expecting it to rhyme. When in doubt,
let it out or whatever. Well,
you got to, in a life or death situation, you have to do what you have to do, but you have to be, you know, prepared and trained to.
But if you do all those things when you're not in a life or death situation, they'll become more natural.
That's how to safely handle a firearm. Mm-hmm. And then you can break one of the rules and still be okay. But don't.
Obviously. Don't break the rules.
Don't break the rules.
Follow the rules. Rules are fun.
When in doubt, break rule number four.
If the situation dictates. I mean, that's the other thing. Is like you get into the justified use of actually using your gun, which is in Pennsylvania in your house with the Castle Doctrine, pretty lax. But
okay,
what I would say depends on what you want to do. But to buy a handgun, you have to go to a dealer, or if you buy a private party, you have to go through a background check to buy a handgun in Pennsylvania. But if you wanted to buy a rifle or a shotgun, I could sell you one. No bill of sale, no background check. I just have to make sure your ID is, you're over 18.
This is a technical question you might not know the answer to. I used to work with kids, and so I need to do a background check in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And what was required was my background check to be done in California too for the state.
Mm-hmm.
California is a closed record state, so they can't
release
anything. Mm-hmm. Would that impact it?
No. So well, in Pennsylvania, at least, you go through a federal background check and you also go through a background check with the state police.
Is
my understanding of it.
Yeah. Okay. They make a call. It's usually pretty quick if you have a clean bill.
They do it online now. It's a click of a button now. So you can go in, buy one today if you wanted to, if you're legally allowed to own one.
Pennsylvania, no waiting period.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Is that what you, so how did you get your first gun?
Okay. Yeah, it was a very similar situation, you know, 18 years old. The place where I used to live, there was a local gun store that had a lot of used selections. So I got a 12 gauge Stevenson single shot breakaway shotgun that I still have today. I love that gun. Very impractical as far as a shotgun's concerned.
It definitely will bite you if you shoot it one-handed.
Yep, it will. But it's just an old gun that I bought for $25 from the store, no shotgun, and that was
$25?
Yeah. Well, prices are significantly different on everything now, too. You gotta remember that was in 2006.
Okay.
Something like what's the ideal use of that particular shotgun?
Sporting.
Yeah, sporting would be like clay pigeons.
Or small game.
Small game. Even home defense. Yeah, you know, could. The thing is, it's a single shot. So unless you had a bandolier or something, loading breakaway one at a time, it's
not ideal.
It's a bird gun. You know, I mean, you could use it. You can run slugs through it if you want. It wasn't choked to run slugs, but
we
did.
We have.
And it does fine, you know.
You bought that gun. I'm sure price had to do with it, but why that one? Why was that your first?
To be honest with you, it was all price related. I was very poor, you know, even when I was 18, you know, but you want to still.
I'm poor now.
Right.
Saw that TV downstairs.
Yeah. That's why I'm poor. Let's not make claims here.
But that was the main deciding factor, was the most bang for my buck, because there was tons of 22 rifles in the same price range. And a 22 is a great first gun for people.
Well, I was gonna say, like, okay, so you have to get 9mm handgun, 22 rifle, and I would get an AR, honestly. Like, if you're talking to set yourself up, you need three guns.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that you both agree. You're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, we've gone through these phases.
Like, yeah.
That's the other thing is,
we have tons of guns.
I bought this gun. Oh, yeah. I shouldn't have bought this gun. Like, why the fuck did I buy this gun?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's always a...
I mean, it's like getting into any hobby, you know. I feel like, no, you know what? I don't know. Cause like, Jesus, sorry, I keep knocking shit. It is like a life or death situation with these things. Cause if it gets mishandled, the consequences are very severe. It's not like me and my freaking manga collection. It's if I get the wrong one, there are no consequences. It's just like $10 gone from my wallet. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Sure.
But with this situation, I don't know. Like, how did you guys, like, increase your knowledge on this? Was this just trial and error, or was it like, did you seek out like counsel from someone, or
some of that, you know, some friends, family, but mainly, you know, like internet forums are a great thing. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, you know, you can learn a lot from internet forums. Plus, again, trial and error. We've done some stupid things with guns when we were young.
Oh yeah,
we have.
Very dumb, and
we don't do those things anymore, because, well, we've recognized, hey, this isn't a safe situation. Or if we tried to shoot something, like even a target that's not a safe target, people don't realize that certain things you want to shoot at are not always the safest things to shoot, especially your distance or your angles or where you're at.
Yeah. I remember when you guys let us shoot the guns that first time, the target started spinning.
Oh yeah.
And then you guys said, stop doing that.
Somebody,
and I didn't,
we shot the chain.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. It's like, okay, that's not safe to shoot at now. Like,
right.
The chance of a ricochet now, it was fine before, but then it's like, okay, we got to stop. Like,
that's crazy.
Audible, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was crazy too. Cause like, you know, you're out here having a good time, you know? And then you guys got like very like stern, and I was like, oh, what's going on? Like, and that's the thing that you kind of have to get used to with these kinds of things, is take it seriously.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You're not like, if somebody's feelings get hurt, they get hurt. It's safety. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's like, I don't know, like we've just discussed, like, we've done some really stupid things.
Sure. Yeah.
In our days.
For sure.
Like,
could you tell us about these stupid things, or is it better to just keep it off the record?
No, it's just like when we were, you know, like shooting in your backyard at your place, like, we did have a proper backstop and whatnot.
Yeah.
And like, it's one of those things like, okay, the guy up the road was complaining, like, it's cool. Like, if he doesn't think it's safe, like, we stopped.
Okay.
You know, but
just like close proximity and neighbors, and it just wasn't a conducive neighborhood to be able to do it, even though it was legal to be done. It's just one of those things that just because it's legal doesn't necessarily mean that you should act on the situation. So
the same thing with, like, if you ever had to use your gun, like, it has to be a life or death situation.
It has to be 100%.
If
you guys talk a lot about de-escalation,
absolutely,
every
time. That's the the one thing you have to do. Like, I carry a gun all the time. Like, that's, you have mm-hmm. to, you can't get into, can't road rage. You can't, like,
right.
You have to, your job is to not have to ever think about using your gun.
So how do you get to that point? Because I'm sure you get excited when you first get the gun. You're like, oh, can't wait. Can't
everybody gets gun fever. Yeah.
Our buddy, Bill and Drew, shout out. You know, he's just bought his first, not his first couple guns. He's had a gun, but.
He's more into it than he probably ever has been.
We've got him into it, but it's like, it's the same. I don't know. You get very excited, but you have to, like, you have to seek knowledge and like just understand the severity and what you're doing. Like, just because you have a gun or you have a license to carry, like, you can't just shoot somebody.
Yeah.
Right. You can't, like, it's not a license to kill.
Yeah. Full circle.
Mm-hmm. Like, son of a gun.
Like I said, it's one of those things. It's a very serious thing, but I think it's the beauty of America is that we have so many guns. And if you want to look at the statistics, like per capita, the number of guns versus the number of gun crimes compared to some other first world countries is lower. You know, there's always going to be, obviously, and we're going to have more because there's more guns, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's everybody's right. And, you have to exercise your rights with some scrutiny, you know, like you have to police yourself.
Right.
Accountability.
That makes sense. I'm sorry. I got distracted because Ken yawned and
it was fine. It is not the conversation. I promise. It's just medication. I'm going through a bunch of medication stuff.
You're a 4 a.m. riser too.
That too. I was up very early today.
If you want some coffee later, also, we can get you some.
I might
take
you up on that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I
if you want that back rub.
That might put you on that too.
But honestly, this is like incredibly, what do you call it?
Interesting.
What is it? No, this is like very informative because it's stuff like that that you, I feel like this kind of severe, like the severity of the consequences and misuse and all that, it brings out a solemnity, I feel like, within people where it's like, I just need to know this turns into this and this turns into this. So this is incredibly interesting, like hearing you talk like this.
Well, talking about like guns, like I think it's something that should be taught mm-hmm. to kids. Like, hey, if you find a gun, you should at least understand how to safely handle a gun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or at least don't touch it.
Yeah. Go find an adult.
I feel like that's part of like, cause you hear all the stories like, oh, somebody found their parents' gun and shot their other sibling. Like,
it's just in the news recently.
That's what I'm saying. And that's the other thing is as a responsible gun owner, you have to keep your gun out of the hands of your kids.
Mm-hmm.
To some degree. I mean, it's case by case basis, but you know.
What, and cause I'm about to ask you about like, James Bond license. Cause we're talking about this. What resources off the top of your head, would you recommend Western Pennsylvania, locals, to maybe just look into if you don't want to give out any information just for liability's sake, that's completely understandable. But, are there any things like, is there any place that they can go to for more information on that kind of
USCCA, stuff. USCCA, not to plug them, but there's good information from them.
Okay. If you're talking a baseline of like responsible handling and knowledge of like gun ownership, like USCCA has a good lineup, but I mean, they also sell insurance, which I'm not going to,
we're not saying anything. You have free will, do whatever you want. We're not telling you what to do.
That's a good resource. I would say,
Yeah, awesome. And again, those online forums are super helpful. Reddit now is a big thing.
And definitely don't be afraid to go to a gun store and just talk, like ask questions. Mm-hmm. Like
a couple of boomer FUDs, they'd be happy to talk to you about that. Yeah.
You need this blunderbuss.
I will say it is amazing the depth and the diversity of people who are gun owners that people don't think about or realize. Like it's everybody, like everybody. It's your right to own a gun. Like, don't like shit all over it.
And especially for our listeners, you know, you like James Bond, odds are you're intrigued by guns. You have some questions about it. Do your research. Listen to this episode for a good place to start on your research. You know, just blindly do whatever.
That's the other thing is a lot of people go out, just buy a gun and like, oh, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
It's going to sit in the box.
Happens more often than you think.
A lot of it's. Yeah. I think the majority of gun owners.
I've honestly thought about going that route too.
You could.
Like in my like previous to meeting you guys, it's like, you know, whenever I've wanted that Walther PPK. I'm like, you know what? I'll get it. I'll put it in a Pelican case, lock it, put the ammo somewhere else, but it's like a just in case kind of thing. Or if I ever decide to go to a shooting range.
Sure.
Yeah. I've definitely thought about going that route, but like, honestly, sitting here with you guys right now, just talking about this the most I've ever, you know, taken in this information. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting the gun fever.
Yeah. You should. I mean, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I would say we're happy to help too. When you're ready to do that, pull the trigger, the proverbial trigger, we're there to help.
Nice. Yeah. Sweet. That's great. Sweet. That's a big thing too, is living in, well, I grew up in California, so most of the time people are like, no, guns, and that's it. Moving here was quite a culture shock, because the amount of people who offered to take us out to the range you know, take us out shooting. Mm-hmm. I was like, but what about my humanity? Like, it was just, you know, making up stories in my head that were based on nothing.
It's a culture thing.
Like, it really is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even my family back in Switzerland, they're like, are you insane? Like, why would you ever hold a gun? Like, to them, that's terrifying. My cousin went for our wedding, when they came to, you know, visit us, saw a cop with a gun, and he saw the gun and he literally freaked out. He was like, I don't feel safe right now. I was like, well, he's a cop. He needs a gun. And they're like, no, our police officers don't have guns. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, but with that, so many people have offered, but no one's actually given us any information, any like proper information. Like, okay, well,
nor have we really truly like sought out that sort of deal.
But it's been very, you know, you just get excited with these things, and it's hard not to get excited. I mean, even when I was still living in California, I was seeing a fella who lived in Miami, took me shooting, and I was like all about it, even though I was coming off my like liberal scum like mentality where like I thought guns were like so bad. Yeah, even just that moment of holding a gun, you get excited about these things. And
like the weight of it.
It is fun. It's fun to shoot. Like it's a sporting thing.
It is. Sorry, one sec. August is giving me signs.
The battery on the computer is dying.
What?
Oh.
Is she plugged in?
Yeah, she's got to be. Keep talking. Here's my question. Why don't you tell my husband over here how to get his James Bond license?
Perfect. We had mentioned this before when you guys were on our podcast, and I brought the term up, the James Bond license.
And I got sweaty. I was like, oh, okay.
So in the aviation community, we tend to use that phrase a little bit, because it refers to James Bond being able to fly a plane, ride a motorcycle, obviously drive a car, and drive a boat, right? Pilot a boat, however you want to call it. So
captain,
whatever.
He is a commander.
You own a boat.
So whatever. Yeah, but whatever, dude. So I would be a James Bond license recipient. So
you
So I can help you achieve your goal if you want.
You don't have a pilot's license, don't
I? Actually, don't. I do. I have a student license.
That counts.
If you think I'm getting anything beyond that, you know.
Well, you just got to get the basics down, you know.
Yeah, and drone license doesn't count. Okay, although you should get it anyways. Why not?
Question: I was going to ask it later, but now I'm excited. Pilot license. Is that for all aircraft? Do you need a specific license for a helicopter, for example?
You do need to have the appropriate training for a rotorcraft.
I imagine.
So, but it would still be a pilot's license. It falls under that certificate. Now, when you start getting into different aircraft, I mean, there's endorsements, right? So you would have like tail wheel endorsement or multi-engine endorsement or complex, right? There's a litany, and I can go on forever, but it would just be boring, honestly.
There's a lot of acronyms,
all that
could
stuff.
Be infinite, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, that right there is super easy. You can come up to the airport where I work anytime. We'll get you in there, and you can fly a little bit.
That one's the tough one for me. Like motorcycle, I can handle the boat. I can handle, but I have a big anxiety, big fear of flying,
and
even
heights.
As a at heights. Just being a passenger, my wife can attest. Like I'm death gripping.
You anything. Won't be the passenger.
That's right. That's
even worse. Actually, it could be better. We don't know.
Listen,
you're in control.
I'll give you one of my Ativans. You're going to be just fine, man. Yeah. Yeah. But when that time comes, let's start easy, right? You already have your driver's license, yeah. right? Do you have your motorcycle license?
No.
Start with that. That's a simple one to get, right? Actually, even simpler to get you 50% there, do your Pennsylvania boating license.
Yeah,
you
can
do
it online. Online, yeah.
What?
And you get a card right in the mail, baby. But you do have to pass a test, right? It's not a practical test. It's an online test of knowledge based.
More than you have to get to get a gun. Unfortunately,
right.
I hate to say America.
So, and then, well, obviously, you can add to this, which we never even talked about it, but a concealed carry permit would actually fit right into the James Bond license, which mm-hmm. I never even thought about that. So,
oh, wow.
All those items, well, with the exception of the pilot stuff, work on it, man. I hope you any way you want, that'd be great.
You can't ride my bike though.
Your bike's too quick.
Yeah.
You got like a Kawasaki Ninja joint?
No, I got a Suzuki.
Oh.
My mom had a fun side
a tangent. Suzuki.
My mom had a Yamaha or something, mm-hmm. whatever. It was like a secret. She didn't tell her parents. These are Croatians. So, you know, when it comes to temperament, they're, you know, cool as a cucumber. Oh. And my grandfather found out and he was so mad. He was trying to drive it over to the dump, but he couldn't figure out how to start it. So he physically lifted this bike over his head and threw it into the trunk of his car.
Anger, yeah.
Pure anger. This guy's 4'2". Like, he Whoa. Was just like, yeah. Anyway, so that was like my motorcycle story. As this podcast goes. Yeah, you know,
and also once upon a time, I thought about getting a motorcycle. Like, I had a buddy, he had it was like an old Honda, like a late 80s Honda.
Like a Shadow.
UJM. Like that. Was it a V-twin or was it like a
parallel? Yeah.
I mean,
he got it for like Facebook Market and he rode it for a bit and then it had some kind of like transmission problem or something or other. And it was going to be more expensive to fix it than it was for him to buy it. So it was just chilling in his garage and I was going to buy it.
It's a parts bike.
Yeah, I was going to get it fixed because it looked like the kind of bike I would like to ride.
Long hair flowing.
Yeah. At the time, I was a little boy. I had a little short hair. But now that is a visual.
I
was once a boy. Now I'm a man.
Yeah. I want to be like, I was going to say James Bond, but I'd be more like Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible 2. Oh,
yeah, nice.
You know?
Yeah.
He's a spy. He definitely is his James
yeah.
Bond.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely does.
For sure.
And he does all his stunts.
That's right.
Oh.
You know, he filmed a movie in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, what? Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
So really? Pittsburgh classic, Jack
One
Reacher.
One of our friends allegedly, his dad did all the Novas for that movie, the cars that he was driving around.
Oh.
And he does all his own stuff.
We don't want to drop any names.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to drop any names.
We'll get him on.
But apparently he's a real shitty driver, wrecked.
Oh, no.
Fucked him all up.
Who, Tom Cruise?
Oh, yeah. Fucked him up.
Oh, seriously? That's funny.
That's allegedly. Allegedly, like I said, it's urban legend, but.
He walked out. He was like, oh.
I have it on good accord.
We all know Pittsburgh's hard to drive around.
Yeah.
It really does suck, honestly.
Random question about licensees. This is going to sound like a joke, but it's more general knowledge. If you know hovercraft,
mm-hmm.
what kind of license would you need to drive one of those?
It's a boat. You're talking about like the
with the fans underneath,
yeah,
right?
To be honest
big
with
bumpers
you,
on the side?
I don't think they need to be registered or certificated or yeah.
You're going to drive it on the water.
Yeah,
you're not going to drive it on land.
So if you go something big enough,
you could, but you're going to blow the skirts out.
Yeah, you might register it as a water vessel if applicable, like if you're able to do that, and then I would say, yeah, that would just be boating. But I would say it doesn't even require a license; it just doesn't fit the bill. You know what I mean?
Listen, this is not legal advice for anybody out there.
Yeah,
maybe driving a hovercraft,
maybe not a license, but a certificate, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because don't you need to be like certified to drive like a forklift, for example?
Forklift certified.
Sometimes, maybe not. But
I am.
I had to get certified to drive like a genie lift once upon a time, kind of thing.
That would be based on the company's requirements policy. but as far as like state law is concerned or federal law, a hovercraft, and I could be wrong, so check me anybody, but I don't believe there's any certification or licensing required to operate and own.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most difficult license to get out of all these? I don't know if you already said it, and maybe I was under the desk.
I would say the pilots, because of the requirement. Which is why I'm actually going the opposite route. I didn't tell you, I'm buying a plane, by the way.
No. Yeah, oh, yeah. You are now?
Yeah.
You're buying a plane?
We had talked about it. But.
Yeah. We can talk about it a little bit.
Oh, cool.
But I would say that just because, you know, minimum FAA requires minimum 40 hours of flight time, which doesn't seem like a lot, but most people end up getting, you know, needing closer to like 60 to get their initial license out of it. And then it requires, you know, some ground school, and it requires a medical certificate, which is why I'm going the route that I'm going, because I can no longer obtain a medical certificate with some stuff going on with me. Yeah. So I'm going what's called basic med. It's a whole thing, but, yeah, your 40 hours, your dual instruction, your solo time, your night flight, your two-way communication airports, so like controlled tower airports. And then you have a written test, a practical test, and an oral test. With an examiner.
Ken did a great job in the oral portion of that.
I did. I did. But similarly enough, the my licenses for aviation, so I'm an airframe power plant, and I also have my inspection authorization certificate. So those are actually pretty hard to do. They're the same thing. So they make you do oral, practical, and written for each one. So I've done the similar style testing, just for obviously for the maintenance side of aviation.
Is this an expensive journey?
The average price to get a private pilot's license, you'd still be, I would guess, depending on your skill level and how fast you pick it up, less than $10,000.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, that is so much higher than I thought.
You gotta get the air time.
That's the problem. That's when you're renting an airplane, it's anywhere from like $160 to $200 per flight hour. Mm-hmm. So that adds up.
Ken will get you to like, I don't know, $80.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
I'll cut you a deal.
Sweet.
But and
around some of those massages.
It used to be around like $5. You're gonna be closer, and my guess would say like the average person, you probably spend around, you know, like $6,000, $7,000 maybe. Mm-hmm.
Even on like that like student license you mentioned.
So like I have my student license right now, which just I just fly right now. So when I go get some time, I log some time. I have to go do my written again. I already passed it, but it expires after so much time. Mm-hmm. So I get most of my time I log for free, because on maintenance flights, so if I fix something, I go up and I fly, and then when I fly
maiden voyage,
then I can sign off some flight time because I'm flying, you know. So a lot of that ends up being free to me, just because it's just luck of the draw, you know, for what I do. But the student stuff, you can get your student license like that. You don't even have to fly. You just got to go get an introductory flight, and they'll get it and they'll send it in your mail, and I'll show you actually what it looks like here. Now mine, this one says
Marco's going for a phone for content.
And then I was like, no, I probably should.
So like that one, that would be your, they use the same one for your student pilot or for your mechanic or for your actual pilots.
You got Roosevelt on the back?
That is what's his face?
Teddy Roosevelt.
No, it is not.
That's Einstein. No,
it's one of the
the Wright brothers.
No, maybe.
Karl Marx.
That's Hulk Hogan. That's Hulk Hogan.
Charles E. Taylor. That's who that is, because that's the mechanic's license. He was the first aircraft mechanic.
Are you sure?
Damn, that's so cool.
I don't know.
Yeah, Charles.
Kind of a novice in that.
Yeah, you're the novice in the situation.
No, so you'll get one of those in the mail, and then you don't even have to fly anymore. You can just whip this out. It'll say right there where that's on there. It'll say that student pilot, and then you can just flash that and be like, "Hey, man,
listen, so cool. I want to get to the point where legit. You know, fingers crossed, I don't get pulled over. But like, if I ever did, I'd whip out my James Bond license, like all five of them, be like, oh, sorry,
sir.
Oops, I dropped my Magnum condom. Yeah.
Fumbling around, just
showing off. They're like, you're okay to go, sir.
But this is a good idea, since we have a fantastic graphic designer here. We can come up and make a card, a James Bond license card. What do you think about that?
That's a great idea.
I think it would sell too, because there's a lot of people out here that qualify, you know, that actually can get this. So
you could have all your license numbers on it and shit.
Sure. And your social security, and give me your info.
Yeah, get everything.
Your bank routing card information.
Yeah. Your PIN number, everything.
That's a really great idea. Actually, yeah, because we're, that's, hell yeah, man. It's a good team here. we've been
the brain definitely, trust, you know,
yeah,
the brain
we've definitely trust. been talking about more merch and stuff and maybe getting a website up. So that would be really cool.
Yeah, that would
and
be cool.
Like a little like principal guide on like how to get your James Bond license.
Sure,
and,
that would be cool.
Because it's cool that most of this is like, as long as you have it on paper, you technically have your James Bond license.
Sure.
Now, how good are you at using these licenses?
That's going to be
irrelevant.
Yeah.
Irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's subjective. Yeah.
You know, to get back to my anxiety and my fear of flying, that it's honestly the probably the landing part would freak me out the most. Like taking off is whatever, being up there is whatever. I'm thinking that even as a pilot, right? But landing, woo.
Yeah.
I love when I landing's my favorite part, man.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like that's the best, like the best feeling, the best sort of, to be honest,
he sets it down so hard.
Stop. Yeah, smash into the ground.
Hey, this ain't the Yinz boys guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is good squeeze.
Class it up a little.
Sorry.
So your most dangerous part is the takeoff. Just because it's, you're in a dirty configuration. What they mean is, you know, flaps or slats. High angle of attack, low airspeed, and low altitude, so no time to recover. So mm-hmm. you have a problem. That's why you'll see, you know, like bird strikes are a huge issue.
Sure.
And on takeoff, because what do? You can't make what they call the turn of death or the circle of death, because like you go up, you can't turn back around and make the airport. You never make it.
Right.
So you go straight wherever you can land at that point, if able. But other than that, no, you altitude your friend. So if anything, this should help your anxiety. Speed and airspeed and altitude are your friend. So the higher you are, the more chance you have to correct a situation.
To glide.
That's yeah. really that cool.
Too. And yep. Dramamine and whatever you were offering me.
Yes. Those are your yeah, friend. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. With, cool. You were just talking, you were saying something very beautiful about like how the landing is your favorite part. What is it about that whole experience?
It's just the fact that you can pilot something, and especially because I have my solo time and all that too, being able to come in and put something on the earth that's moving, you know, pretty fast and not destroy it.
That's
you know,
so cool.
Now, yeah. They
it's
do,
powerful.
They do say they powerful. Do say that any landing you can walk away from is a good landing. Good but landing. I mean, after you smash a couple planes, no one's going to rent you a plane anymore. So mm-hmm. still try to strive.
I don't know, man.
That's really cool.
We flew into Croatia, not this most recent time, but the time before. And it was a landing.
No, it was this most recent
yeah,
time.
Yeah, it was
both
a landing.
Times actually
but
sucked.
It was like,
check that reel out.
I like looked. I'm like, do planes land that way? It was rough.
Ooh.
But yeah. We landed.
It happens.
We were like touching the tarmac or whatever, the landing strip. Mm-hmm. And it like, decided to take a turn all of a sudden.
And obviously, like, this is Croatia Airlines, and I'll just say it because who cares? But, you know, everyone's going, like, obviously, they're not like, oh, thank you. They're like, shut up. Like, you know, they're just like, I need to focus. Like, they're not good. They're, you know, it's Croatia.
They're not good
I love
under
Croatia.
Pressure.
I love Croatia, and I love the Croatians. They're very kind people. They do very poorly under pressure. So, yeah. But, no, yeah, that flight was rough.
So, it's things like that. That's where my brain goes to with landing.
Yeah. And I'm
like,
not helpful. Because
that's
I just,
a pilot. Like, what about me?
Mm-hmm.
Flying is not inherently a natural thing to human beings, right? So, it's a very common fear of the unknown. Right, you're up there, and the less you know about aircrafts and its systems, you're going to be more afraid. But the more that you learn about the systems and everything about it,
redundancies,
mm-hmm. the design of the airframe, the oil or the airfoils, and everything, like it's straight science that just works, mm-hmm. you know, and, mm-hmm. it's very tried and very true. But accidents happen. I mean, accidents happen all the time. And automobiles, you don't hear about every automobile accident. Every 3 seconds in the country, someone dies in an automobile accident. But every time there's an incident with an aircraft, it's published on the major news places. So
would you say it's because it's so rare?
Because it's so rare, and fear sells.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to media, so people love like the aviation industry. When there's a catastrophe, they know that ratings are going up. People love a good air disaster. You know,
that's a great point.
I do love them.
Yes.
He's the demographic, right?
Well, wow.
Target.
On that note, actually, with you know, disasters and, you know, those action-packed moments. I asked you guys to just kind of think about this question. If you have an answer, you have an answer. If you don't, you don't. What are your biggest pet peeves in terms of aviation and things you see in media that's commonly depicted?
Sure.
Could you go into that?
I got a great one for you that happens all the time. There is no access to the baggage area.
There's plenty of access.
You guys just talked about this. Yeah.
Plenty of access. Given the opportunity, I'll access it.
There is no access. So you see that a lot.
Post 9/11.
Could you describe to like a novice like myself, what does that mean? Like what area are you talking about? So you
commonly see in Hollywood films and whatnot that someone's able to get from the cabin of the aircraft into the baggage hold of the aircraft.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. I'm thinking like in the airport. Like,
like a trap door you can
There's and matter of fact, it's that way because you have what's a pressure vessel. So like where you are is a pressure vessel. It's maintaining a certain altitude so that you can handle and have oxygen up there. The baggage area in most aircraft is not pressurized. So if you have something in there that can freeze or break, it will. If an animal will not survive in that.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah.
So it depends on the aircraft too. Some aircraft do have pressurized baggage areas, but most cases, no. So yeah, that's my biggest pet peeve. Other than that, I mean, they always get it wrong, you know, when they see like, if you see a propellered style piston airplane flying and they use a jet sound. And I'm like, come on. But no one
picks it up.
It's the same,
same thing with
guns in the movies.
Yeah, there you go. Same idea.
Like the sound?
Yeah, yeah. That gun doesn't make that sound.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, the sound of a silencer.
Yeah, the suppressor. I was going to roll into that. Finish up the plane. Like, I want to hear.
Okay, that's.
No, also, like, landing a fucking plane anywhere, or like what a helicopter will do in a fucking movie, it's like,
there's good test pilots and stunt pilots that could do very, very good work. I watched the link that you sent me. That's real. Like they did a lot of real stuff with the James Bond.
Very talented pilots.
I think
there's a video I've seen of like it's a helicopter following a car like a truck on the highway. And he jumps out of the helicopter.
Didn't see that one. But either way, I would say that without watching every single Bond film, I would say that 90% of their air scenes they're probably real.
Oh, yeah,
practical. It's all
practical. Yeah, and still to this day, they use very limited CGI unless it's like an explosion or, I mean, you correct me because you're the nostalgic.
I'm just thinking off the top of my head, the past like two that involved aerial stuff have been CGI, I believe. What? I believe so. Yeah, really cool like plane crash in Spectre in 2015. They're like crashing through the Austrian Alps, but I think it was all CGI.
GoldenEye, that first flies away?
In the dam where it's he jumps out and into the dam.
There's like a plane that explodes at the beginning prior to the opening credits.
The plane's flying away from an explosion.
That's probably what I'm thinking.
But
of.
In GoldenEye, Pierce Brosnan isn't getting in that airplane, but there is an individual who flies off a motorcycle and chases a falling plane and enters it while it's all going down.
Is that possible?
I would say
0.00001% of the time.
There was a pilot in the plane and the dude jumping had a parachute.
You'd be surprised. Look at what Red Bull does now, where they jump in and out of airplanes. Without parachutes because they're able to get it time. They have a squirrel suit, so they're able to just go in and out.
Is that what they're called? Squirrel suits?
That's what I call them.
There's like base jumping outfits.
Glider suits.
Sweet. That's awesome.
Stuff that they can do is it's something special. It really is. Yeah.
Cool. You know, I'm excited for you to watch the older Bonds because there are some crazy plane stunts. And even if you fast forward and just watch the stunts, you know, that'll be helpful.
I say this for the record. I do want to watch some James Bond. You guys have intrigued me. This podcast has intrigued me go into it. And I've never seen one prior to this. And I at least started GoldenEye.
A word?
Yeah. Yes. That's awesome. Yes. Thank you. And I learned 006. I saw him in there. I don't know what he's all about yet, but
Well, you saw it. Okay. If you saw the opening.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he smokes. Awesome. He's done.
Yep.
Cool.
So either way, moving on to Neil then to some of your pet peeves
this is like the big one in the movies. Like, and everybody can attest to this, but like the number of bullets that you're firing.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
Reloading your fucking weapon. Uh-huh. A revolver that holds 6 shots, he's going to shoot it 50 times.
Oh, yeah. They still do it to this day.
I know. It's
with
like
everything.
That's what I'm saying. I think, that's one like, okay, that one's easy. The sound thing is another thing. Like, okay, right. Suppressed weapon doesn't sound like.
Suppressed weapon kills me. That's my
doesn't
favorite.
Do that.
Except, pew, pew.
You guys heard us shooting some the other day.
Oh, there's that. Is that what that was?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so
okay. Oh, now we're experts. Oh,
well, that's
exciting.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's we should have like had you fire a couple without the suppressor, and ooh. Then
yeah, just you.
I think I would have started crying a little bit. No, you would have. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Just to get the difference, because there's a significant difference, but a rifle that's suppressed is still incredibly loud. Like, you should wear hearing protection when you're shooting it. It's still not hearing safe, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Per OSHA standards.
OSHA standards.
Ken knows all about that. In the air, because airplanes are loud as fuck.
Yeah, I have some pretty permanent damage. When I was working on airplanes since I've been 17 years old, and I'm now 37. So I've been around it long enough. And when I was a kid and back in the day, not a lot got enforced. I've done some permanent hearing damage. And you learn.
Talking about dumb stuff with guns as a kid. Mm-hmm. I didn't wear hearing protection when I shot.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
For like a good, I don't know, couple months. And then I was like, oh, I'm really, really stupid. Like, that was really dumb.
Yeah.
You know, sure.
Can I ask about how people hold their guns?
Oh, that's a big thing. Because,
kill shot or
does that work?
Or
like
grip is the cheat code to shooting.
Okay.
A handgun, at least. It's all about your grip and maintaining consistency. Like when you talk about a martial art, like can you present the gun consistently in the same spot every time?
Oh,
like it's all muscle memory to some degree. Hmm. But as far as recoil control, it's all in your grip.
That's crazy.
And your stance. But
and you think with like, you know, a franchise like James Bond, this guy is professionally trained individual and he's holding it like this, like a little stripper gun.
That's
know?
The other thing I want to talk about is like practical accuracy in the movies. Like they miss a lot. Like, I wanted to say, like, okay, there's some like shots that people take like completely unreasonable. Like one hand off the gun. Like, there's no, you're not making that shot.
Uh-huh.
But then it's like,
unless you're James Bond.
Well, but he's trained professional.
That's right.
So, but all these henchmen like blasting away. Like in reality,
that's why they never hit him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, like in real life, like yes, it's very hard under stress to hit what you're shooting at, even in like the stress of just, okay, here's a timer, the beat, like go.
Oh, yeah.
It's very stressful. But that sort of thing is like under a wall of gunfire, you're going to be hit by a bullet. Like there's no way, you know, like, I don't know. It's another weird thing that I don't think people think about, but like, it's hard to hit what you're aiming at.
Okay.
So it's true, but it's also like not true.
Yeah.
What are the odds of catching a bullet with your teeth?
Zero.
Zero. Okay. Zero. Okay. Got it.
Completely zero. I mean, zero is really what it comes down to.
I think, asking for a friend.
What movie did I see? Someone caught a bullet in their teeth, and it's a movie, right? But when he turns and spits it out, the cartridge was still.
Yeah, yeah. That is the other thing. Is like sometimes in movies you'll see like, oh, it's the bullet coming out of the gun. It's like the whole casing.
Yeah.
And the bullet.
Like, it's like, no, that's not how that works.
That's like, funny.
For people that don't know, there's the bullet, there's the casing, there's the powder and the primer. And the bullet goes out of the end of the gun. The casing gets ejected out of the gun usually. So it's not
usually
one,
depends.
Revolvers maintain, you know, in the cylinder. You have to open it up.
Yeah, sure.
Or if you have some of the guns I have, they just failure to eject.
Yeah, sometimes they do that. That's the other thing is you have to get a reliable gun is a good gun.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of unreliable guns out there.
That's a good point.
It's also ammunition dependent. There's a lot of factors.
You know, this is really cool because like this is already so much that we're going to be paying attention to. And hopefully our listeners, if they're listening. Stupid thing to say,
if you made it this far, maybe you'd be willing to go a little further.
Yeah. These are the things that like you don't really think about because you see them so frequently repeated in movies too. You see the same trope over and over and over again, and you think at this point somebody would have been like, "Well, maybe let's make it a bit more realistic." But is it going to be as exciting? That's that question. But
that's I mean, I don't know. You can look at the most recent thing I think of is like John Wick. That is cool. Somewhat realistic from the standpoint of like, okay, he actually has to reload a gun.
Okay, for sure.
You know? Yeah. But like, it's same thing. Like all the sounds, all the shooting when you're not like actually looking at your sights. Yeah. Like, no. Like,
that's cool.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, hearing you talk about guns and the process of responsibly and correctly achieving one has intrigued me. And I don't want to say I'm doing it, but I might dip my toe into that James Bond license just for the clout of saying I have it. And so Margo can make it.
I would be happy to help if you decide to go that route.
So. You'd be my resource one, for sure.
Right. To reiterate, you have your James Bond license.
Yes.
Cool. Well, so, yes. You'll be our first.
Yeah. Perfect.
That'll be cool. Oh, this is so exciting. You're also our first James Bond licensee. Sir. See? What? Like, oh, sir. Wait, I don't know.
Sir, yes, sir.
And not only that. The Yinz boys were our first guests.
That's right.
On a Good Squeeze podcast.
Yeah.
Very honored. Yes. Honestly. No,
thank you guys. One, for making the trip out, and two, for just totally just coming in informed, confident, and giving us all the information we asked for and then some. This has been incredibly, like I said, informational and valuable for our listeners and ourselves. So thank you guys.
Of course.
Why don't you guys give your plugs? Tell us where we can find you, where listeners can, breadcrumbs.
We have a hotline we're going to throw out there. It's a lot of fun, just in case anybody wants to reach out. 412-613-1116. That is for whatever you want. So we'll screen it accordingly. But if you want to call, leave a message, you would text, something to discuss, whatever. Also, we do have a website that is pretty poor shape, but it's working. it is yinzboys.com.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's the social media stuff. I feel
that's like the
it's
stuff really that's boring. Really, which I'm going to leave that to you because I am a dinosaur when it comes to social media stuff.
Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube, if you guys want to watch us.
Usually. Yeah, the real Yinz boys.
Well, at the real Yinz boys at gmail.com. If you guys want to email us, if you're a boomer.
They're very responsive. Yeah.
What else? I think that's really about it.
You can find them on Spotify. Listen to their podcast. That's the most important.
Our podcast is on Spotify.
Nice.
It's everywhere, I think. Because
we have a syndicate that goes out there. Yeah. So wherever you listen to podcasts, it will be out there.
Yeah. Go take a listen. Leave them a review, a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Show your appreciation for them coming onto this podcast. Giving us some valuable information that we would have otherwise never had access to.
That engagement counts. And, you know, tit for tat, you had us on our show and we're grateful for that. And we're even more grateful that you're on this show. Mm-hmm. Indeed, a good squeeze. And that'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you once more. You can find us on, you know, social medias, the Instagram at, what is it?
Good Squeeze Pod, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, we're just a good squeeze. We got rid of the pod.
Oh, you're right. Yes. That's sorry. Right. Yeah. Add a good squeeze. Find us on Instagram. Leave us a comment. Give us show us if you're a novice or a nostalgic. you know the drill.
A follow would be cool.
Go follow the Yinz boys. Follow us too. Leave us a comment, a DM. I'm always going to get back to you. And August with where they can find us.
You can find us where you're listening to us for certain. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Play. We're wherever you find your podcasts. Mm-hmm. We're there. Our main hub is audioboom.com. If you want to listen to us, you can find us there for certain.
Ken, I'm going to put you on the spot. You will be ending with, you know, the good squeeze. You will.
You've been practicing, right?
But on that note, we're going to go like this. I'm Margo.
I'm August.
I'm Neil.
I'm Ken.
And this has been
a good squeeze.